Today's gospel reading is one of the most common Bible stories known in the Bible, but it's also considered as one of the most important stories told by our Lord Jesus Christ. And it is the story about the lawyer who came to Jesus to test him, the Bible says. He didn't come really because he wanted to learn, but he came to test Jesus. And the question that he brought when he came was, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus asked him back, what is written in the law? Knowing him to be someone who knew the Bible or knew the law. He comes back in Luke 10:37 and says these words, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. So it is considered one of the most important stories because it gives a true description of how we are to live as Christians. May I also not forget to include that the story is a true explanation of the cross. So just as the cross has two parts to it, we have the vertical part and the horizontal part to the cross, so also is the word that this young ruler spoke in this text. So the word or the text that was read has two parts. It talks about loving God with all of our hearts, mind, soul, strength, and then loving our neighbors as ourselves. So the cross has two parts to it as we see it, and one part is that part that connects us with God, and that's the vertical part. And the horizontal part is the part that connects us to one another, which we'll talk about some more as we go down in this message. So today, Christians, in many forms or ways, we express our love towards God in our worship. And of course, we've gathered here this morning because of that. We express our love for God in our praises. When we sing the songs and we give our testimonies about the greatness of God, we are talking and expressing our love toward God. And we see that in our services, in our acts of services that we render to God. No matter what it is, whatever the service is that you are rendering to God, when you do that, you express your act of love, your love for God in your acts of service that you render for God. We all do that in our services toward God. And so there are so many ways in which we do that. We see it in our worship. We see it in our services. We see it in our act of prayer, in our devotions, and all of that. But when it comes to expressing that same love for others who were made in the image and likeness of God, like us, our school level dropped. What is so intriguing about this is the fact that from scripture perspective, our love for God is not only measured by our acts toward God, but rather also by our acts toward one another. The scripture lets us know in 1 John 4, verse 20, whoever claims to love God yet hates his brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And this is a very important aspect of today's sermon. This is why people often judge our acts toward God by how we treat others. And oftentimes you hear phrases like, isn't he or she in the church? Doesn't he or she go to church every Sunday? But how is this person acting this way? This is why somebody once said, you read the Bible while I read your life. While we open up the Bible and are reading it, people are reading our lives. And they talk about us, and they can determine who we are by the things we do. And as a matter of fact, Jesus says it. He says, by their fruit, you shall know them. He also said, let your light shine among men so that they will see your good works and glorify the Father in heaven. So if the love of God resides in our hearts, that love can only be seen as we interact with people, as we interact with one another. The things we do show forth that, yes, God does live in our hearts. The truth is that some of us are carrying a stick instead of a cross. The cross, like we said, has two active parts to it. The vertical part is that part that connects us to God through our prayers, our act of worship, and the communication goes back and forth. But then you have the horizontal part to the cross that connects us to one another. So we are connected to God so that we can connect to one another in a good way. This is the reason why on the cross, when Jesus died on the cross, he was in the middle of two thieves. One was on his right and one was on his left. And Jesus was in the middle of the two. And this is an emblem to show to us that we are connected to the world that we find ourselves in. So he died for those thieves on the cross. And it was showing that it was because of sin that Jesus came into our world. And every single one of us who have received redemption in Jesus, and every single one of us who have the life of Christ inside of us, the reason why we live on this earth, the reason why we are still waiting and have not yet been taken into heaven, is because we have a task to perform. And the task that we have to perform is that God wants us to affect the lives of other people with the life that we live here on earth. Jesus says in Matthew 16:24, then the Bible says, he says, whoever wants to be my disciples must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Unfortunately, many of us are just carrying a stick instead of a cross. And we only have a relationship with God. And we care less about the relationship with our neighbors. And this is a very important aspect of the relationship we have with God. Because the reason why God establishes this relationship with us is because he wants to work in us and through us to establish this relationship with mankind. So the cross is never completed if we are only in fellowship with God and we forget about the love he brings to mankind. It is very important that the church understands this, that we have been called to carry a cross. And if you are carrying a cross, then it means that your life ought to be affecting the lives of the people we come in contact with. The question that I have for you this morning, which is the theme of today's message, says, are you carrying a cross? It's something to think about. It's something to really, truly think about, because we've been called to affect the lives of others in a positive way. Permit me to look a little deeper into the gospel text this morning as we examine Jesus' response to the question, who is my neighbor? So our Lord Jesus, in his response, gave a parable. Let's zero in this morning on the victim in this story as we look at the parable that Jesus gave to this man. So the first thing we want to look at as we look at the victim this morning is we want to look at his distress. In Luke 10:30, it reads, in reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now, the first thing you see in that verse is the fact that Jesus talked about a man. He did not, in this text, interestingly, he did not tell us what or who this man is. But he tells us that it is a man. What this means is that it didn't matter, or it doesn't matter who this man is. It doesn't matter who your neighbor is. We don't categorize our neighbors. We don't look at the people that we see to be more favorable as our neighbors. We need to embrace everybody. No matter who they are, we need to embrace them just as they are, is what the story is saying. In other words, it's telling us that everyone is important to God. Every single person that has been born into this life is important to God. No matter where that person is, he may be a beggar standing on the street corner asking for handout. He is important to God. And God wants that person to be as important to us as our children are, as our best friends are. God wants them to be important to us. Many times you walk in churches and visitors or guests will come in the church on a Sunday morning and they sit there on the pew. And when church is over, people will not go and extend love to them and fellowship to them and greet them. But rather, we get into our own personal spaces where we are comfortable at and we begin to fellowship with the people that we love and know. But God has called us to a bigger world, to a wider world. And he wants us to affect everyone that is in it, no matter who they are. The next part in this verse is, it says that the person is attacked by robbers. This man is attacked by robbers. This gives us an imagery of someone who is less fortunate. This man had a purpose. This man had a plan. He was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. He had his life all laid out the way it would go. But for some reason or the other, he became less fortunate on his journey. We have a lot of less fortunate people living in our world today. And many times we don't take up the time to hear their stories and get to find out why they are in a particular situation that they find themselves in. Instead, we categorize all these people to be nuisance to society. And we meet them at the street corner begging for alms. And we go past them and we don't help them. God is saying no. He's called us to a bigger world. And we need to be concerned about those people because we don't know their stories. We don't know what got them in the situation, but they got attacked by a robber. We don't know what the robber was that came in their lives and stole away their lives and caused them to be in a situation or predicament they find themselves in. But we as the church need to love like Jesus loved. He went on the highways and the byways, and he touched every life that he came in contact with, to the point where the scribes and the Pharisees called him name, but he did not care. He went on because he came in the love of God. And that's how the church needs to be. The scripture lets us know that in John 10:10, that the thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's the devil's work. He's working in the lives of people to destroy them, to steal them, to kill them, to kill their ambitions, to kill the God's purposes for their lives. And we as the church need to love these people when we come in contact with them. The scripture also lets us know in the text that the man was left half dead. This is an imagery of helplessness. It is an imagery of loneliness. It is an imagery of hopelessness. How many people in our world today are hopeless? How many people in our world today are lonely? How many people in our world today feel helpless? And what is the job of the church? Our job is to reach out. And this is the reason why one of the aspects of our ministries here is the food pantry that is run by Terry Robertson and his team under the outreach ministry. And we reach the people every week. These people are faithfully coming here and opening the food pantry and meeting people they don't know. This is the thing that we are called to do as a church, but individually in our neighborhoods, at our jobs, the street corners where we stop when the traffic light comes on at red. And we meet these people at the grocery store, wherever we find ourselves. We need to be a light to this world. We have to understand that there is a devil, and the devil is stealing people's lives away. And he's leaving them half dead, and he's leaving them helpless and hopeless. And if they're going to have any consolation at all, if they're going to have any peace at all, if they're going to have any rest or joy at all, it's going to come from God's people who have this light and this joy bubbling inside of us. And we take this joy in the street corners and we share it with the people we come in contact with. Look, now we just looked at his distress. Let's look at his neighbors. The Bible says in Luke 10:31-33, a priest happened to be going down the same road. And when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too the Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed on the other side. But a Samaritan, had, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. Now look at this text very intently. Notice that Jesus started off with religious folks. The Levite and the priest are from the temple of God. And these are people that God had given the command to reach out to the poor and the distressed. And here the Bible is letting us know that they have come to this place, but they are too busy to stop. The priest is too busy. The Levite were too busy people. And they had too many things to take care of. Didn't have enough time on the side to minister to this man's need. And they walked past him. You see, when we look at life from a spiritual perspective, we walk in the streets of our city and we see folks that are dying and on the way to hell. You can look at the lifestyle and see that there is no Jesus in them. What do we do as a church about it? We pass on the other side because we are too busy. We are too busy to share the gospel. We are too busy to give our testimonies, and we pass on the other side. This imagery of death, being left half dead, is an imagery that we see in the spiritual world that we live in today. A lot of folks are on their way to hell because they don't have Jesus in their lives. But we pass on the other side. We have folks in our families who are on their way to hell, and we pass on the other side because we don't want to offend them. Folks, this is time for the church to rise up and see things from the viewpoint of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that these people passed, but then they saw him and passed. This message here is that do something for someone whenever you can. Do something for someone whenever you can. I'm going to say it three times because Jesus emphasized three times. And every time he emphasized something three times, it was important. So I'm saying it one more time. Do something for someone when you can, whenever you can. Don't judge them. That's how we become Jesus to the world we live in. When we do something for someone whenever we can. In John 3:17, it reads, "For God did not send his son into this world to condemn the world, but so that the world may be saved through him. It is the reason why he came." And this is the reason why Jesus came. And one time he met a lady and said to her, "Never do I condemn you, but go and sin no more." And this is the kind of message that we need to be taking to the world today. "Neither do I condemn you, but go and sin no more." God has given us an order. God has given us a command to go into the world and preach this gospel and help the people we come in contact with as we do that. The next thing is he took pity on him. This phrase expresses an act of love and compassion. The driving force of God's mission to the earth is love. All right? He took pity on him. How often do we take pity on people who are destituted? How often do we take pity on people who are left for dead? This is an act of love. This is the driving force of God's kingdom on earth. This is what drives our passion. It is the love of God. The scripture says that Jesus came to this world. He who knew no sin became sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. That's love, my friends. That was the love that took him down from heaven. He disrobed himself of his glory and came into a world that was destitute or is destitute. And he came into this world and he touched lives. And this is what he has called us to, my friends. He took pity on him. We need to change our mindset. We need to begin to walk in the spirit that God has given us so that we can reach the world with the gospel. Notice also that the subject of the greatest command of the New Testament is love. That's the subject, love the Lord and love your neighbor. And if we are not loving simultaneously, there is a problem with the love that is springing out of us. How can you say you love God who you have not seen and yet hate your neighbor whom you see? The love of God is a love that expresses deep compassion for others. And we need to begin to ask God to pour that love in our hearts. The last point this morning is to look at his needs. In Luke 10, 34 and 35, he went to him and bandaged his wound. This was the Samaritan who came passing by. So the priest had passed, and a Samaritan came by. And usually in the Bible days, the Samaritans were looked upon as people who were of no use because they did not have the same religious values as the Jews. So they didn't care about them. But here is a Samaritan coming by and seeing this man lying for dead, and he stopped. And when he stopped, the scripture tells us what he did. All right? He bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. "Look after him," he said, "and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have." When you see this kind of text, you see Jesus. You see Jesus in this man, and this is the Jesus that is in all of us. He did not only minister to the need of this guy, but the Bible says he took care of him. He bandaged his wound, pouring oil and wine on it. He ministered to this guy immediately, into his immediate need as best as he could. Not only that, but by touching him. He went to the extent of touching this man. We need to touch the lives of the people we come in contact with, just like our Jesus did. He put the man on his own donkey, the scripture says, brought him to an inn and took care of him again. What this tells you that he took this man to a place of safety. And every time I read this story, it reminds me of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He did not only die on the cross and bring us redemption, my friends, and walk away and went back to heaven, but he took us and placed us in a place of safety, so that we cannot be robbed again by the devil. And this is the reason why we gather in worship week after week, and we listen to God's word, and we are kept under the loving care of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he's ministering to us, and he's taking care of our needs spiritually. And we know that he is with us, and he has vowed to be with us even to the very end of the age. That's the Lord and Savior that we serve. This is the God that has come to us. It's the God who lives inside of us. And it's that same God that we take out to the world that we find ourselves in. The world is not getting better, my friends. And if any good is going to come in this world, it's going to come through the church. We heard the news quite recently of what's happening down south. And nobody is happy about this. And we sit and say, what must we do? Yes, we can pray. But it's also time for the church to rise up and show forth the love of God when we can. I pray this morning that these words from God will encourage your hearts and keep you steadfast in your faith. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and all God's people say, amen.